transportation meeting of the 26th of April will come to order. In attendance is Representative Locker, Representative Herman, Representative Boud, and Representative Miller. Today... I not like you hold your ears like that. If you were to hold your ears, I would have counted for two. Today we'll be hearing two bills, Health Bill 321 and 322. One to act making a special appropriation of the Department of Transportation facilities for improvement and expansion of the terminal at the Anchorage International Airport and providing for an effective date. And the other one is an act increasing the bond authorization for international airport revenue bonds to $62 million, providing an effective date. And both bills were introduced by the rules at the request of the governor. So with that, we'll take our first witness, Ms. Lindsay.
My name is Gina Lindsay. I'm with the Department of Transportation Planning Office. And I'd like to, if I could, give you a little bit of background on the project, if it would help put this particular phase of the project in perspective. We've got a footprint here of the domestic terminal in Anchorage. The colored area shows a comprehensive development plan for the terminal. This is the existing terminal in the gray. Brown on this end is new construction. This is existing. Now, we've got three phases of a project. The brown, this concourse, which was previously utilized by the international carriers before the new international terminal opened, will be renovated. We'll build a 100-foot extension onto this end of the building, plus a commuter concourse. That is the project that we're considering now that will be covered by the $28 million. Eventually, we will be pulling the building out over the existing arrival-departure ramps, tearing down the old north concourse because it is severely out of code, and building a new concourse. That's the overall six-year plan for the entire airport, which gives you an idea of what we're building towards. But again, the brown, the renovation of this concourse, the new construction on this end of the building, and the commuter concourse is the project that we're talking about now. We've also got a set of design plans here. I don't know if that would help at all, but in giving a little background as to how DOT develops projects for the Anchorage International Airport, we've got a fairly substantial planning staff, and we've got a master plan that is basically looks at the 20-year projections for aviation activity levels and the facilities that we'll need for that. This particular project was recommended in that master plan, was also recommended in a subsequent, more definitive study that was done by an airport design consultant, TRA Farr. Basically, we look at aviation activity levels and figure out what kind of facilities we're going to need in order to accommodate those aviation activity levels. The facilities that will be provided in this phase one project were recommended as needed when we hit the 900,000 enplanement level per year. Now, last year we had over 1.1 million enplanements in Anchorage. Our conservative financial analysis forecasts estimate that we'll probably have enplanements rising at 7.5% per year. Our less conservative, more optimistic master plan forecasts estimate perhaps 12% per year. So we're looking at more passengers every year. If it would be helpful, we can run through the design plans real quick. How do you feel?
Well, what's the wish of the committee?
Not necessary.
Okay, that's fine. Basically, this project will give us a fire suppression system and electrical code upgrades on the old international concourse, some additional baggage, eight new gates for commuter airlines, and some additional ticket counter space in the domestic terminal. We have approximately 45,000 additional leasable square feet as a result of this project, which will probably result at existing lease rates at about 500,000 additional revenue per year. I would like to explain a little bit our financing for this project. We are asking for bond authorization to sell revenue bonds. As you know, Anchorage and Fairbanks airports are supported through the International Airport Revenue Fund. We have some cash on hand with that fund. However, our best estimate is that the major portion of that has already been obligated to other projects. Therefore, we felt that we didn't have the cash on hand for this. We are looking at, as you can tell, a fairly substantial capital improvement program over the next several years. We were concerned about financing that capital improvement program. We have hired a consultant to take a look at what we can do to increase revenues to both the international airports. That report was submitted in January, and basically it gave us a series of 8 alternatives that we could look at for generating additional revenue. Excuse me. The bonding that we are asking for is not in conflict with that report at all. That each one of the alternatives in that report assumed selling revenue bonds for our major capital improvements. Now, we are asking for $28 million. Our project is not going to cost that much. However, we rolled into our estimate bond sale costs, which we estimated at 3%, which is about average, which gives us about $840,000 off of our $28 million. And then we also estimated a required bond reserve deposit. Apparently, when we sell revenue bonds, we need to make a deposit of 1 year's maximum principal and interest to the fund, basically as an insurance to our investors that we'll always be able to make at least 1 year's annual payment. And that's an additional $3 million. So that gives us approximately $24 million usable cash, we think, at the end of the sale.
Are there any questions? Representative
Booth. Yes. What happens to that $3 million? What do you physically do with it?
It is, well, Kathy can probably answer that better than I, but I believe that it is invested. Kathy, it's from the Department of Revenue. I'm not sure.
Okay. Who makes the decision on the investment?
I don't know. I believe Department of Revenue takes care of that for the state.
Is the interest on it rolled back into the investment itself, the principal?
I believe so, yes.
What amount of monies would that generate based on that?
The best guess I can come up with now is that the financial community is kind of divided on whether we would actually have a net gain on our interest during that period or a net loss. Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about the $3 million that sits in the bond reserve fund. It's, I believe, rolled into the construction fund. Just additional.
How long will it stay there? How long is it required to be?
For the life of the bond.
So we're looking at $3 million over
30 years or 20 years, whatever we sell the bonds for.
That would generate a considerable amount of money in
short
time.
Should.
Is that accounted for in the construction area through the through your budgets and so on when it does? Is this taken out every year, or is it just left and accumulated?
It's left and accumulated, I believe.
Are there many more of those in the past?
I'm not sure.
See, my point is, if we've been doing this with our bonds, we've had to do that over the life of the bond, how much monies do we have sitting in there on that particular phase of it alone that's still being held? Let's say we've got what is the total bond in this that we've got out for the Department of Transportation now, we'll say. Do you have that figure, anybody? Well, let's assume if this is a $3 million one, that's based on what, 28?
28, right.
And we get, let's say we've got $100 million. Let's just, grab a figure out of the air. And we've got to, if we've got to put $3 million up for $28 million, say roughly 3 times that, 3, that's 9 million.
Mm-hmm.
And we're drawing interest or an investment. This is opening up a new area of questioning, as far as I'm concerned, as to where all this money is.
I think,
I'm sorry, it has nothing to do with the 28 million, but I want to know about that one area.
Sure.
Yes.
Perhaps I could address this.
Maybe if you could come up here and state your name and who you're with and...
Yeah, I'm not leaving.
Quick answer, my name's Tom Singer. I'm legislative liaison for the department, special assistant to the commissioner. This issue comes up with any time you have revenue bonding, and usually it's dealt with in the bond covenants as part of a contract with the bondholders as to how these reserves are used. Right now, there's a February memorandum by the Attorney General's office, which the committee may want to see on this question, about unconstitutional dedications of revenue and when funds have to flow back to the general fund or not. And the Attorney General's office has put out an opinion or a memorandum, I'm not sure which it is, on the flow of those funds. They generally found that it's not an unconstitutional dedication, that you can't have a contract with your bondholders and the purposes of these income streams can be settled by contract, and usually they're just held in reserve to call the bonds, primarily. In other words, the last payment, they just are used to make the last payments or to call the bonds early, at an earlier date than they are due.
It would appear to me that, I don't know whether the legislature could do anything about it, but it would seem to me we ought to, if it's a 30-year bond, maybe every 5 years we should be able to take perhaps some of that interest money out of there, and that would reduce down some of the incomes that we've got to our oil monies and so on. Might be able to use that for more construction in airports or any place else in the general fund. Maybe every 5 years it should revert back. The interest on the investment should have been, or the profit on the investment, if you will, revert back into the general fund to be used for capital improvement projects or something of that nature. And then start it over for the next 5 years or something. Because that's a terrible amount of money.
Yeah, I think that we may be misunderstanding that when we say a profit on the investment. I mean, there would be a net loss. Normally, there would be a net loss. You're paying more for the money that you're holding with you.
Yeah,
it's borrowed money to begin with that you're paying higher.
Depends on the investment, though.
Well,
certainly, if it was a gold investment, we
needed
it.
Usually, if you're borrowing tax exempt and you can invest taxable, there are arbitrage rules of the IRS, but sometimes you can do
it. Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go on with what we're talking about here. That's a little.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the information.
Are there any more questions for Ms. Lindsay?
Hello?
I do have one question. You spoke of a plan. I gather from your testimony there a plan on the two international airports.
Master plan, that's right.
Is there any way that this committee could get a hold of some of those copies?
Certainly.
And just to have them so that we can review them too, would be much appreciated.
Certainly. Would you like a copy of the Anchorage and the Fairbanks master plan?
Yes, please.
All right. Mr. Chairman, I would also like a copy of that report that was done for them in order for them to be able to increase revenue.
Yes, sir. Very good. Thank you.
One other question. You said there were 8 alternatives.
Yes.
For what was it? Business.
Increasing revenue.
Increasing revenue.
Yeah.
What are just a couple, 2 or 3 of them?
Well, you can take a couple of approaches to calculating rates and fees on airports. One of them can, if you take the stance that the airport operator is not going to bear the risk of doing business, that the airline will bear that risk, you can calculate, let's say, for example, terminal rates on the basis that all your concession revenues will be credited against your operating costs, and the balance will be paid by airlines. Basically, the way they would pay that balance is dividing their square footage lease space into your operational cost that's left. That really, as far as the airport operator is concerned, that reduces our risk. But it also reduces our potential for significant revenue gain. You can take another approach that says airlines will pay only for the space that they use, and we will take the profits off of all the concessions. That means we can make more money, but it also means that we bear the risk that if the concessions don't make money, we don't make money. That's a couple of the alternatives.
I have one other question. This $28 million project, is this part of the anticipated $77 million project over the next 6 years, which is now in the Department of Transportation 6 year plan, starting this year, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm. Is this part of it?
Yes.
I'm not sure if I'm clear on what you're talking about with the $77 million plan.
Well, there's the 6 year plan, which we got earlier in the year, the Department of Transportation, and they're planning on spending $77 million in capital projects at the Anchorage International Airport within this next 6 years.
This is part of that.
I don't know if you're the person that can tell me. I doubt if you are, but I tend to be parochial at times. And my question is, we have two international airports in the state, and in this next 6 year plan, they anticipating on spending $77 million at the Anchorage Airport in the 6 years. And in the same 6 years, they anticipate on spending $200,000 at the Fairbanks International Airport. Do you know why the great disparity?
Well, I know that there is there was a substantial appropriation to Fairbanks in 1980, and a lot of those projects have not yet been constructed. So I understand they're still on the books and still need to be taken care of.
Okay,
Mr. Maynard.
Very good. Representative Booth.
Are you ready to move the bills?
I have one more. Yes, we will vote the bill today, but we do have one.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. We would appreciate those reports.
Certainly.
Mr. Snell?
Mr. Chairman, I'm a director of transportation planning for the Central Region. And I think Ms. Lindsay covered the project nice before, so if I have no additional questions, I would have no testimony.
Okay. Is there any questions in the committee?
I presume, I'm not saying this to be facetious, but you are familiar, quite very familiar with these plans. What we intend to do, the reasons behind them, I would presume.
That's correct.
Representative Smansky.
I only had one question. It's one I brought up some time ago when I've looked at this in the past, and it's still kind of an ongoing concern. It's that whole traffic problem out there. I don't remember if you guys didn't touch on that this morning before I came in, but I'm getting more and more concerned every time I have to travel through the airport. Something's going to have to be done immediately to address the problem associated with both offloading passengers and inbound, or you know, passengers coming in and departing. You know, that whole traffic problem, it's just getting worse. And I see with the increased capacity that's being designed into this, then we're going to be getting into this future structured parking. But the future structured parking may be a day late. This is my concern I have. Now, what are we going to be doing about it, and how do you see this? Is there anything we can do with the existing facilities to accommodate that?
I presume you're referring to the arrival departure ramps here.
Arrival
they're very congested.
And the ones below.
The next phase in our expansion program brings the terminal out over the existing drives and constructs new drives that are 5 lanes each, which give us significantly more capacity than we have now.
Well, this extended portion is not underneath this phase.
No,
no,
it's not. This phase is the brown portion here.
Exactly.
Right. And in the meantime, we have our security police out there being sure that we move the cars on 2-minute intervals. Now, whether that actually works, I can't really tell you, but we're doing our best.
Mr. Chairman, in regards to that thing, we have commissioned a study to look at the arrival departure problems on the terminal. It's called the Anchorage International Surface Transportation Plan. That plan is nearing its completion, and we're anticipating that some solutions to the arrival and departure problems will be outlined in there as far as a corrective solution, and that those solutions should be programmed in the 85-86 capital improvement program budget.
Yeah, I just see some real problems coming up where you're going to have to get and make some hard decisions probably like for instance, taxis get a priority on the inside lanes now. The shuttle buses for crews get a priority for inside there. And the shuttle buses get in there, messed up with everybody else. And it's really a nightmare. So, I mean, I can see eventually where you're going to have to move the shuttle buses or something else down to the lower parking area, maybe down into where the Avis or something else is to accommodate them or figure out some other combination that's going to work better than what it is now, but it's a real nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
What I hear you saying is we really don't have an answer to it yet.
Yeah, I would like to say that it's that entire philosophy that irritates me, that the people who actually make money from the operation rather than the ones that are paying for it, like us, are the ones that are catered to. All the rentals, all the buses, all the cabs, and the rest of us can park clear over on the South 40 and walk if we feel like it. Or if you're by yourself, set your suitcase out there and leave it and then go park your car and miss your plane. And I get this philosophy that irritates me. And I do appreciate this little dumpy airport out here where you can park your car right there in front of the door long enough to unload it, and there's no one hassling you to see to it that you move off in 2 minutes. And I guess that's one thing that really irritates me about the Anchorage Airport. You would never believe that it is state subsidized the way we, the people that live here, are treated. And I think that's, you know, one of the places that's most important, where DOT kind of gets a black eye again, is that, you know, again, the solution. Get our security men out there so every 2 minutes, and they run people off, and they don't run them off very nicely.
Is that right?
Yes. And
well,
so they're not very nice at all. In fact, they're tough guys. You know. Right. And so I would like to see an attitude change there, and I would like to see something just like a Representative Zemanski said. Let's move those buses and those cabs and things like that. You know, they don't own that airport. And let's be a little nicer to the people like ourselves that have to park our car in the long-term parking, unload our suitcase and whatever else we have coming down here, and still do all that and then stand in the long line. I don't know, there's something really irritating. That airport doesn't work good for the people that live in the state, is what I'm telling you.
Representative Locker, let me go back to Anchorage and sit down with our operations people and respond back to you in writing as to what possible solutions on the system we may have to make it a more courteous operation and a more convenient operation.
One thing, if you would look into it, I appreciate that on the top ramp, they're coming in there and they're parking 2-3 feet, which is fine. But there should be maybe some lines or something that tell people this is
exactly
an unloading deal. Even before you could do that inside of maybe a couple of weeks, just draw the lines so that a car could stay in it. They're parking in such positions now that you couldn't, if you're in here and you take your bags in, they choke right up, and you might as well sit, your line will sit there for a half, three quarters of an hour before somebody out in the second, third lane will move to allow you to get out. And it's a dangerous situation, number one. But I think with some thought on it, on just that top ramp right now, or even the bottom ramp, with some highway stripes or something to show people where the devil they're supposed to be. It's a bad scene for traffic, for the pedestrian that's taking the bags out of the car and working themselves through the car, and all of a sudden the car shoots out. We're going to get some problems, and they're serious ones. And right now it's a hodgepodge. Perhaps that may be worthy of some of your consideration in the immediate summer traffic that's coming up now. I think one could take a look at it, and there's stripers all over town. You could pull stripers in and just make some stripes down through there so people know where the devil to park or to move to or to follow in line or do something. It seems to me that it's a terrible jug up in there. I don't know if you considered that or not.
No, sir, but let me roll that into the response that we provide to the representative.
In other words, there are things that I think we can do now in the next 3 weeks to 30 days that can help eliminate some of the problems. It isn't, you can call it a Band-Aid, if you will, but it's a very important Band-Aid. This, rather than waiting for the capital construction to take care of that particular problem.
Yes, sir.
Representative Locker.
Yeah, well, just one comment that would, that might help. In most of the major airports that I have gone to, the rentals don't park right outside the door. You take another car to get to them, you know, or someone that picks you up. So we really do spoil the people that visit, as opposed to people from here.
Yeah, just as a follow-up, in Seattle, they've got buses or something for rental cars or something. Take it down there, you rent your car, you take off, and you're not even around the airport. Then you drop it off down there, and that bus takes you back, or transportation takes you back to the airport and drops you off, you're in free. There are some serious problems here.
Yes, sir, I agree.
Representative Manske.
I just want to make sure that you understand what I think the committee is saying is that if you're going to get down to emphasizing the two-minute harassment, and I call it harassment troops, and you put the stormtroopers out there, I'd rather not you be harassing the public as much as maybe looking at other ways to alleviate the problem. Because the public, from my perception, has been harassed enough out there and has accommodated it, but now it's time for us to say, okay, we've just got growing pains, we've got a lot of problems down there with traffic, let's see if we can do it another way. And if it means moving rentals further out the way they're done in major airports, whatever.
Representative Booth?
I'm through with that.
Are there any further questions, Mr. Snell?
I have none.
Any
of that, Mr. Chairman, I move that House Bill 321, House Bill 322 be moved out of committee to the next committee referral on individual recommendations.
Is there objection? So ordered. As soon as we pass that around, tomorrow there will not be an 8:30 transportation meeting. However, at 3:00 in courtroom A, there will be a briefing on the Connect Arm crossing by the, I believe it's the commissioner of the transportation, Commissioner Casey. So I would encourage everyone to attend.
Mr. Chairman, would you let the record show that
she records you when you come in? However, I will say that Representative Samansky and Representative Davis are also in attendance.
That's my normal practice.
Transportation meeting for the 26th of April adjourned. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Do you know what the volume of traffic is in the Anchorage Airport versus...
Does it move down Finance?
Yeah, it's going to come on the floor.
How'd you get it out of Finance?
My blood and guts all weird. That's how I got it out.
Okay. I think I'm going to sign off, but I want to go back and study it. I get it.